In 2018 and 2019, St. John's Lutheran Church of Northfield is conducting oral histories of its members. My name is Judy Carlson, and today we'll be interviewing St. John's members, Greg Colby and Carol Shane, longtime members of the congregation. Welcome, Greg and Carol.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to hearing your St. John's story. Well, let's start out by your telling me and our other friends at St. John's how you first came to St. John's and what attracted you to St. John's.
Well, we joined in about 35 years ago when our daughter was newborn and we needed a place to get her baptized, and we had been for years, the first years of our marriage, trying to find a church home. And we had just moved to Northfield and we contacted somebody here, and Dick Shetler came out, Pastor Shetler came out and talked with us, and we had come to church a couple of times and really liked the music, and we'd heard of its history, and so we joined when Gretchen was baptized.
And that was about 35 years ago.
My recollection is that, yes, that was a big deal regarding Gretchen, but we also decided to join after hearing a particularly good sermon. And we both liked that, so
yes,
that helped.
And do you recall who gave the sermon?
I thought it was Shetler.
It may have been. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But it has a positive impact.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Had, and perhaps still.
Oh, yeah.
You're recalling it, that was really an important piece.
The preaching currently is really excellent. I mean, that 150th anniversary sermon by Pastor Fikencher was just superb. It was superb.
And we've had great ministers who gave wonderful sermons, I think, ever since we've joined here. Mm-hmm. Joseph Crippen was excellent, and I just loved him, and it was really hard when he left. Mm-hmm. And I think it was for a number of the members.
And what role did St. John's have in your family life?
I would say a very full role, just huge. We brought the kids up here. They went to Sunday school. We'd go to whatever was going on besides Sunday school, and then we'd go as a family to church. And we really were very consistent back then. And when confirmation rolled around, we started going to Wednesday evening, or when the kids were in confirmation, we'd go to Wednesday evening Lent services and discovered that we loved them, and especially the Haugen evening.
Can you recall that wonderful verse, that music that goes with that?
Oh, I want to move my hands as it goes, because it's the prayers floating up, and it just, I could just sit back and listen to that over and over again. It's beautiful. So music plays a big role for me, not as much for Greg.
No,
but
that's true. I am not. I admit, I'm not a huge fan of organ music. I'm just not. It's, you know, it's nice to have, but if it stopped, I would not, you know, be brokenhearted.
It'd be okay.
It'd be okay. Mm-hmm. Although, I have to admit, there have been occasions, you know, not that often, where I have really been impressed with the organ music. I mean, it has been quite wonderful, but yeah, Carol's right. The music is nice to have, but it's not one of the big reasons I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Would you expound on one of the big reasons you're here, if it's not music?
Well, I am a convert from Episcopalianism, and we had an ongoing debate between Carol and me the first 4 or 5 years. We would go back and forth, and then finally we settled here, and I've always been pleased that we did that. I grew up in a military family. We were always moving, and I really got tired of being in really small churches with congregations of under 80 people. And I didn't like that, because all the same people were doing the work. And when you have a bigger church, the work gets spread out. So I like that. The other thing is that Lutheran ministers work hard to give good sermons. I don't doubt that Episcopal priests work hard, but not as effectively at giving good sermons. And I tend to prefer the Lutheran Church institution as an institution to the Episcopalian. The Episcopalians are destroying themselves. They are just, But the Lutherans seem to be a little bit more down to earth.
Grounded.
A little more grounded, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't want to start a fight here.
Yeah.
At least not yet.
Wait till the recording is off.
Yeah.
Well, and we, having brought our kids up in this church, our daughter, our oldest of two, became a minister, a Lutheran minister, and she has moved back to Minnesota after going through all kinds of training and
seminary in California.
Yeah, and she has a church in New Hope, Minnesota, and we can attend that once in a while. We know how hard she works and how hard her wife Jill works, who's also a Lutheran pastor.
Yeah. We've become more Scandinavian as a result of that. For the last 4 years, we've gone to the big fundraiser at our daughter's church, a Lutefisk dinner. The last 5 years.
Oh, that is loyalty.
So,
gosh, this sounds, the role St. John's has played in your family life. Gretchen is certainly a representative of something marvelous happening here at St. John's, among other things, home and family and college, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. And, well, she didn't go to a Lutheran school. And in fact, the one drawback she saw of Vassar, which is where she chose to go in upstate New York, was that the spiritual life was not strong enough for her.
Yeah.
And she sought people who went to church, and she didn't care what denomination, but I should have known a long, long time ago that she was going to become a minister. Because I know that in her youth groups, like when they went to Christicon, she was often the one that was leading in the prayers and that sort of thing. So she became...
Yeah. Well, when she was growing up, I mean, we never had to say to Gretchen, come on, get out of bed, we're going to church. I mean, she was up, she was ready. Let's go, we're going to church, Mom and Dad. Oh, okay.
Commitment as a child.
Yes. Oh. But I've always found it rather amusing that my daughter's biggest complaint about her undergraduate institution was they weren't very spiritual. Wow.
Interesting. She was, early on, and the Holy Spirit was part in her soul.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Colin was spiritual in a different way, and he has done a lot of exploring with Eastern religion, and, well, it's not so much religion as, like, Buddhism. I don't see it as really a religion, but...
He's more into Hinduism than he is into Buddhism.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
But I see him deciding to go to churches with Gretchen, and so we don't know. We just have our hopes, and I know that he was brought up in the Lutheran Church, so he has his basis in faith, which is important. That's the best we can do.
Do they live near each other?
Yes, they do now. It'll be a short-term time. I mean, just, you know, 4 or 5 years that they'll live by each other, because he's in his last year in law school.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
So he's able to worship at her church when the Spirit moves him, or...
He will go to some of the activities.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we'll just...
Although he has missed the lutefisk feeds, I've noticed.
Regularly, yes. Yes.
Does that make him non...
Norwegian.
Yeah, or non-Lutheran, or just a non-lutefisk eater. Perhaps some of all.
Yes. Yeah. So,
anything more you want to add about your family life at St. John's?
I would say that St. John's has become our family as well. Mm. Many, many members of St. John's, I feel like they're brothers and sisters. And yes, brothers and sisters in Christ, which I think all are. Mm-hmm. But particularly, we got involved with a group called Connections. And actually, I got involved with them first for about a year, and then invited Greg to join me, because it was a lot of couples and some singles our age group. So we watched each other's kids grow, and we were all like one family. Mm. It always felt that way. It was so important to me that when Guy Reed, who was doing a lot of organizing and sending out notices that we're meeting this month, when she asked me to take over her job of that, and, I said yes to it, and I don't usually say yes to that kind of thing, but...
I can confirm that. She's not exaggerating.
But I did say yes, and it really became a very important piece of my life and work, mm-hmm. is that I'd organize these get-togethers, and we'd do it about once a month, and we did other things as well, like Steve Edwins took us on a church architectural tour.
Oh, man, that was
And it was
great.
Fabulous.
That really was quite an experience.
Yeah. And we'd have Christmas parties and discuss books. One of our pastors, former pastors and very short-term pastor, was Christine Wee. And her sister, Paula Long, has been a member here for some of the time, I mean, for a short time, too. Her sister, Paula Long, was one of the editors of a series of books that we used in Connections called Listening for God, which led us to reading. They'd have chapters of a book to discuss, or even a whole short story. But it led us, me anyway, to go on and read more of those authors. And it was such a big part of my life for such a long time. And I miss it terribly.
It's not ongoing.
It kind of died a natural death, I think. Mm-hmm. People just were getting interested in other things, and I don't know why. I don't want to talk about what happened. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. But mm-hmm. They're trying new things. Like Jonathan, and especially, has been involved in trying to get pub theology mm-hmm. going, mm-hmm. and it's. Connections is somewhat similar to that in many ways, but we don't have the kids, the family life mm-hmm. like we used to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that it just isn't the same for me.
Isn't
but
the same.
No, mm-hmm. no, but Connections was very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Made some very good friendships through it. I got to know Dick Groning, and he died, I believe, last year or 2 years ago. And he was so well read on the Old Testament that it was just a lot of fun to have a discussion, because you knew Dick was going to bring up the Old Testament. And that was just marvelous. And then he was involved with, constructing and putting together musical instruments like lutes. And he would start talking about that, and then he would start talking about a classical guitar music out of Spain. And, oh my goodness. And we had a common interest, in that he served in Vietnam and flew transport aircraft. And I was in the Air Force for many years. So, you know, we could talk about airplanes sometimes. And then Dick finished up his aviation career as a pilot for Northwest. So we had lots of things to talk about, but he was a lot of fun. We got to know Barb and Ed Coleman, and Ed is an auctioneer, and Barb is I believe a counselor now with Lutheran Social Services. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Barb and I had a lot of disagreements, but she was quite wonderful to talk to. Barb, if you can hear me saying that, I want to say it again. You were wonderful to talk to with.
Yes. And Dennis Reinhardt, who has
yes.
theology training as well,
oh,
was
yeah.
in the group. So, and Jane was a very active member. And Maury and Christine Wee were probably in the initial group that started Connections. Mm-hmm. And so they played quite a role when they were here as well. It was, pretty. Other people that I think about and what I've written down even is that the connection, all the connection members I got to know, I feel pretty well and very close to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so nice because it means that with all new members and babies and all that, I still have people that I know well in the church. And some of them have moved or left the church, this church or something like that. And still when we meet up with each other, it's like we're friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. Have we moved a little bit into important people in our lives?
Yes, I was just going to say, that seems like a very good place to talk about that. Yeah, absolutely.
Greg mentioned Dick Running, a person who was not in Connections and is the next generation up and just died recently as well, is Betty Quinnell. And I never knew her husband, and everybody assumed that if you knew her, you knew her husband, Hans.
Hans.
We knew her sons. In fact, we were friends with her sons.
Mm-hmm.
But she was my Stevens minister when I asked for a Stevens minister.
Oh.
And she was always very, she was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Very important in my life,
uh-huh.
too. Okay, and Greg, you had written down Betty.
Yeah, 25 years ago, we did a couple of Bible studies through the Search Bible Study Program. And those were really wonderful. And most of our members were older women. And so I was learning about Lutheranism from them. And we got into a discussion about grace once, and I finally got it. I finally understood the concept far better after one of those. And it was one of the most meaningful spiritual experiences I've ever had. And it was down in the the commons room where all the couches and I can't remember the fireplace room. And there were 8 or 9 of us. And it's one of those very, very few times in my life where I felt like, yeah, the Holy Spirit is really in this room. And I will never forget that. It was just marvelous. But Betty... Mary White was in that group and a nice, nice person. But there have been some others where, what's his name? He and his wife have been here now for the last 10, 15 years. I'm trying to put his name. Very short, former minister, Air Force guy.
Phil Eves. Phil and Barb Eves.
Oh, it's delightful to talk with the two of them.
Yes.
And you come up with this question, this question of faith, or what does this particular passage mean? And, you know, Phil will look at you and he'll think about it for a couple of seconds, and then he's got an answer. Mm-hmm. And he and I like to torment each other a little bit, tease each other. And so he will tell me that it means I need to do this while I'm kneeling, and it's midnight and it's really cold or something, you know. But talking with Phil has been wonderful, just wonderful. So, no, there have been some wonderful experiences here.
This is, yes, full of talent in our congregation.
Oh, yes.
It is.
Commitment. And yes. Really love and passion for the congregation.
Yes.
Well, you know, I've actually had Northfield moments in this church where you think this is just a normal, average town. It isn't. We were having a big debate in the church about whether we should have stained glass windows. And I remember being in the sanctuary with a number of people, and somebody raises their hand. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, where's this going? And he's recognized, and he starts out by saying, well, you do understand what the history of stained glass windows is. Uh-oh. I mean, where else but Northfield would you have a question like that? I mean, it's just and then of course standing we end up from time to time standing next to two economics professors from St. Olaf, Rebecca Judge and Tony Becker, and every once in a while you will get this marvelous observation from either one of them about something that comes. I mean, I remember standing next to Rebecca when we were singing A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which I absolutely love. I didn't grow up with it, and I just love it. And she leans over to me and she says, how do you like our fight song? And I almost burst out laughing. I mean, it was just delightful. And then on a different occasion, Peggy Hansen was ushering, and she and I had been in yoga together, and I'm about to go up to communion, and she leans over and she says, Namaste. Oh. And again, I almost burst out laughing. I mean, it was just wonderful.
Yes, yes.
But it also made me think, okay, now how does this all relate together? And it was, you know, those moments make you think, and it's just delightful.
We are many ways connected.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Wonderfully so.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I'll bet Dick Shetler would be among your influencers. As you started out in the beginning, he came to your home and
welcomed you. He did. Well, I was a little surprised by that. You know,
a home visit.
Home visit. And he did a lot of talking with us, and that was good. I don't remember a lot about Dick past introducing us to the church, because he was not here that much longer, but it was just at the end of his tour.
That's
with
tour
us.
Duty on
yes.
To bless others.
Yes.
Yeah. How about your leadership? You've talked about connections and your, it sounds like, reluctancy, but willingness to take some leadership roles.
Right.
Other things that you've done, for either both together or church council or Sunday school or leadership roles at St.
I was
John's.
On the worship and arts board, which was supposed to be I was taking over somebody's one last year of his 3-year time, and then I ended up serving another 3 years and then a couple more after that. I mean, I was there a long time. And I'm proud of having done that. And I got to know Judy Swanson, and Margaret O'Leary was a good friend of mine, very good. And I got to know others that were very involved in music that I would not have met otherwise, really. Like the gentleman who was the choir leader in the church in Norway, I think.
Lydia Kornbeck's husband?
Probably.
I can't remember his name either. Dogfin?
Yes.
Is it Dogfin?
Dogfin. Yes, yeah. Dogfin. And I don't remember that name because I've never heard it before or after except with him. And he is a wonderful person.
I didn't know his role has been in music.
Has
in
been
Norway.
In music, yes. Yeah. And so he had been on the Worship and Arts Board. And then a couple of younger men who are involved in music mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. And so I worked with them for a long time. That was one I did say no to, taking over the leadership of the board because of the other commitments and the time they met, because I often taught at night. So it was more difficult to add another night mm-hmm. thing. So, but that was a board. Greg was on a board as well. Stewardship?
Benevolence and social concerns.
Oh.
And I may have been on one other group. I can't remember. But I was on benevolence and social concerns for a couple of years and enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. There was this member, and I can't remember her name anymore because it's been so long, but she was really impressive. I think she was involved with one of the colleges, and I think it was one of my first introductions to staff members mm-hmm. from either college, and my goodness, very talented. But it's because of St. John's that I got to know Paul Nemestow, who was a professor of music up at St. Olaf for years and years, and I think it was one of their driving forces in the band program up there. And I've also worked with Paul on the
Vintage
Band Festival. I was on that board for the last 5-6 years.
What a wonderful
contribution
to our community.
And the guy, Nemestow, knows band members from all over the world. I mean, the summer of 2019, we had three bands, I think, from Germany or Scandinavia that came over. Mm-hmm. And it's just remarkable, the contribution that they make to that festival. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's wonderful.
Plus, Paul Nemestow was Colin's trombone instructor and got him interested in that.
Uh-huh.
So that was fun.
You've been interesting places in the church to reach your webs of friendship are really quite broad, aren't they?
Paul Beck, we've known.
Oh, sure.
He was, he and Mary Beth, I think, were involved with Connections a little bit. He's
very, very strongly for a while.
Wonderful high school music teacher.
Yes.
Yeah, and a good guy. Jeez, Paul's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's talk about a little bit about St. John's Church. How has it changed over the time of your membership?
It's become more diverse, I would say.
Yeah.
And I was part of that. I saw the loving care that so many stepped out to help with one of our members. From the Hispanic community when he got into some immigration situation.
Mm-hmm.
And to watch other church members just
step up and reach out to him
was just beautiful. And now we have somebody from, and I don't know where he's from, Africa, somewhere in Africa. Is it Nigeria? Is he a pastor or a children's?
Our youth
minister.
Youth and children's minister. Yes, Pastor Emmanuel.
Yes.
I can't pronounce his last name, but it's something like Kogingi or close
to. And we haven't gotten to know him yet, although he certainly, when you get face to face with him, even if it's a moment. He acts like he knows you.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's just so mm-hmm. wonderful. Yeah. And I like that we're more diverse. It's very difficult in this snowy white Minnesota to find diversity in such a positive way.
Yeah. His willingness to come and mm-hmm. be amongst us.
Yes, yes. What other ways has the church? I would say in music as well, we've become more diverse. And some of that I like, because I like some of the music. And then there's other music that I want to hear my old favorites again.
I think it has changed in the willingness of the pastors to challenge us. I remember Pastor Svensson at least once a year standing up and saying, surprisingly, if you're involved in an affair, you need to stop it, and you need to stop it now. And the first time he did that, I have to admit, I was stunned, because I had never experienced that in any church I'd ever been a member of. And I was a bit taken aback by that. But I have noticed, more with Jonathan than Pam, that Jonathan is willing to say, now wait a minute, examine your own behavior. Are you doing this or this? Then doesn't that mean you're not considering the more loving posture of this? And I have to admit, I absolutely love when he starts a sermon with a story that just seems to be out of left field. And then suddenly he's got you in the middle of a moral or ethical dilemma. And you're, how did I get here? And where are you going? And oh my goodness, that he's a talented speaker.
Yeah,
he really is. Yes. However, I would argue that when Pastor Fikencher makes up her mind that she's gonna really jump into something, it is just remarkable. I mean, she's gifted as well. And at some point, you know that the church is going to steal it from us, because she needs, I think she's got the ability to be a bishop. I really do. She is just as sharp as any minister I've ever encountered. And we have a lot of ministers in our family. So we have a lot of exposure to that.
Yes.
And she has an ability, I think, to listen to really diverse opinions about stuff and not make you feel that somehow you're inadequate or you're not up to snuff. And I really think she's quite impressive.
Well, here's a challenge for you both. Were you in church last Sunday?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you heard Pastor Emmanuel's preach.
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say, if you weren't and you didn't, someday ask him about being on the motorcycle and what happened to his wife.
What happened to his wife,
yes.
Oh, that was great.
He never really did tell us.
But that's a different story.
Yes, yes. Well, let's see. Worship and music. We talked a little bit about music. That's something that's really, really special to you, and Greg, you like it, but not as much as Carol.
Anything
else you want to talk about? Worship and music.
For church, yeah. And I'm really grateful that if we do a guitar service, it happens once every couple of years. Yeah, it's fine. But once every couple of years.
Okay, yeah. A contemporary worship.
Yes,
thinking of
yes.
Guitars and drums and...
Oh, man. Yeah.
No, my favorite is the Haugen evening service, as I've said. Also, there's a song that they've used to sing at least every other year. It's, they always sing Silent Night on Christmas Eve late service. Mm-hmm. But it's a mashup sort of with another song that interweaves with it. Do you know what?
Oh, yes.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
And I love it. It just, it puts me to tears. Yes.
One side of the congregation does one piece, one, and it's like
choir
a
choir is, yeah. Yes. Yeah, the choir is singing another part. Yeah, it's just uh-huh. beautiful. For All the Saints would be one of my favorite hymns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the old Standby. And leaving Christmas service with Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I love it. I can see my dad just marching out with saying that too. The Easter service is very special to me with the brass and the wake up,
mm-hmm.
He has risen.
Yeah.
It's just so spectacular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The music is spectacular.
Yeah.
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 We are blessed, I feel, with wonderful leadership there and talent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be in this congregation when the congregation decides that they're going to sing something well, and they do, wow. And they can always, they always know how to sing something because they read the music.
Yes,
and
yeah.
I've been in any number of congregations that have struggled through some unfamiliar song. They don't have a problem here.
No, there's always somebody behind me who can read the music better than I, and I'm listening.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the things that, in connection with the depth of the music that I'm just more recently becoming more and more aware of is that the internships that Nathan, the interns, music interns, that he works with from St. Olaf, either in music or programs. And just in the last voice, 2 days ago, was online, and it showed their pictures. And because of a gift from someone's estate, there is money to pay these interns to come and work with Nathan during the church service.
Wow.
So
wonderful.
That's something to that is very unique, I think, to a congregation that we have access to. The students have access to this wonderful program and the leadership here.
Right.
Well, when you have somebody like John Opog sitting on the St. John's Foundation, I mean, John is top-notch legal talent. I mean, he really is good. He lectured, for heaven's sakes, to 600 practicing lawyers on issues related to real estate. I mean, John is not your average guy on division. It's not surprising to see that kind of thing being set up here.
Yes. I can't remember if it was Margaret O'Leary's estate, maybe, but
it could be. Yeah.
So that's a really unique aspect of our music program that is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what else would you like to talk about? We've talked about leadership, about your family, and about people that are important to you. And if there might be something on your list there that you'd like to share about your St. John's history.
I feel like I've covered most of it. My grandfather was an ALCLCA, you know, I don't know which branch, but it was what became the ELCA,
mm-hmm.
Minister for 50 years. So through much of my life, And my mother, who was therefore very active in the church because she was the only daughter of my mm-hmm. grandfather. There were brothers, but anyway, she still likes to come to this church for the high season services because the music is so wonderful and it's so much like what she remembers as a child because it was a beautiful music program in the church where she grew up. So what
I don't think we talked enough about how the church has changed. It is obviously a much larger physical plant than it used to.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a lot more capabilities.
Community outreach.
Community outreach is much better than it used to be. Our ministers are different. They're not all men like they used to be. The music is still exceptional. The stained glass windows are still the same, plain as day, except in the front and in the back. And yeah, it's kind of cool, but you can't see the one in the back very well. In fact, you have to go up into the choir loft to see it.
Sure.
Beyond that, though, I can't think of a great deal. We still have a number of retired ministers in the congregation. And it is impressive, at least from where I sit, that they aren't constantly harping, criticizing, saying that's not the way you should be doing this or anything like that. We even have a retired bishop who's a bishop over in Wisconsin, and he is fun to talk to.
But that's not a change.
That's not a change, no.
There have always been a lot of retired ministers.
Yeah, there have been, that's right.
And you can be at very different places in the country, and from Gretchen's experience in the world, and they know St. Olaf and St. John's in that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that St. John's is so related to St. Olaf. So, I don't know. The church is still important, and it.
Well, I'm a retired public defender. I practiced criminal law for over 30 years. We had this discussion at Pub Theology on Monday night about the role of the church in society and whether it's important. And my basic position is, are you kidding? The number of clients that I represented who were unchurched was well over 90%. Well over 90%. I mean, the vast majority of my clients were young men who obviously didn't have adequate parenting, and they didn't understand the concept of boundaries in life and how to deal with their impulsivity. The church is absolutely essential to helping marginalized people and helping the poor. We have to do better at that. Spirituality is the product, well, we're in the business of proclaiming the word of Jesus Christ, but we're also in the business of selling spirituality. It is powerful, it is real, and it is extraordinarily helpful, because life has a lot of challenges and problems and hardships, and sometimes the only thing that's getting you through is your faith and the good Lord and the Holy Spirit. So this is a great place for finding all of those things.
Pub Theology, one of you mentioned that as a part of the change and the growth, and that we would have spiritual conversations in a pub or a restaurant, where facilities, things that usually come from pubs, are there, and it's okay to drink a beer with your fellow Christian and talk about things like that.
Well, and having a pastor there to ask questions that you had. Why do we do this? Or why isn't this important? And sometimes you get surprising answers. And sometimes, you know, Jonathan will throw it right back at you. And, oh boy.
And in a setting that is very unique, whatever restaurant or location, it's certainly not here. And the robes are gone, and the candlelight, and those things that we see as certainly representative of worshipful environments.
But I mean, Carol and I are a little spoiled, because we have we've grown up with ministers, and in my case, my twin brother is a minister, and I've been able to watch his development and evolution as a minister, and I get to watch it in my daughter now. And I don't think, and I discovered it in my work as well, people do not understand what an extraordinary resource a minister can be. First of all, they're very well educated. I mean, they have a minimum of 7 years of post-high school education under their belt. Second, they have to go through a hospital internship for a summer. And why? Because they're learning about death and illness and the issues of aging. And they're marvelous resources. They really have great talent and ability. And I think sometimes people get this idea that all they do is get ready for Sunday morning, mm-hmm. and then they're out in public for an hour, and that's it. But they're marvelous resources.
Yes.
If we use them and feel comfortable using, and I think the pump theology lets that be kind of, for me, in a more equal basis than, in a different setting. The setting provides a more casual conversation, mm-hmm. than openness, mm-hmm. perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what Connections did for me all those years. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think we might be at a point to say goodbye. Is anything else, any other reflections you'd like to add before we... And you can come back.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. I don't have any...
Very nice invitation. It's been lovely to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg and Carol, for sharing your story and your family's story as part of the St. John's Lutheran Church Sesquicentennial.